by the, you know, the warming of the planet that's due to the burning of fossil fuels, the burning of fossil fuels by the very companies and plutocrats and petrostates that are behind the policies of this administration.
Said, not since the ransacking of the Library of Alexandria have we witnessed such a wanton, intentional assault on scientific knowledge. We have 30 seconds, Professor Mann.
Yeah, it's a line from my commentary, and you know, there's some question as to the veracity of that story, but I think it captures sort of the insanity of what we're doing. We're literally destroying knowledge, and we have to look back to ancient times to see, you know, eras similar, you know, when barbarians tried to destroy knowledge. That's what this administration is doing. They're trying to destroy knowledge.
Michael Mann, professor at the University of Pennsylvania, co-author of the book Science Under Siege with Dr. Peter Hotez. We will link to your new piece out today in The Guardian. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our video news production and digital fellowship programs. You can learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Trina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Masood, Safwat Nazal, our executive director, Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kboo.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214 to contribute to KBOO's $75,000 goal for our KBOO Fights Back campaign, going on now until December 31st. What better way to celebrate than by gifting your loved one a KBOO membership this season?
If you think the art of conversation is dead, you probably haven't listened to Jonesy. Or maybe you have. In any case, Jonesy brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio, theater, music, food, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I should know, I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones. No relation, by the way. A tagline I've long since beaten into the ground. So tune into KBOO on air or online every second and fourth Thursday of the month at 10:30 a.m.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO FM. I am Cecil, and I am your host this morning, and I'd like to thank our engineer this morning, Craig. Our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187, and I invite all of you who have things to share, thoughts that are important, to give us a call. Again, those numbers are 503-231-8187. Well, I hope everyone has had a good weekend, and for those of you who are in the Pacific Northwest, who experienced lots of rain and stormy weather the past week or so, I hope that many of you are safe and dry, and please remember those of our siblings who have to struggle to find shelter that is dry and that is warm. There is so much we can do to improve the lives of our siblings. So continue to do what you can to help your neighbor and to help build a stronger community. Today is the 22nd of December. It is quickly approaching the end of the year. And, you know, you've seen many of those programs that said, oh, why, the year has gone by so fast. And there is so much we have not yet done. So a question that I ask all of us, where has the year gone? And what are the important things that we take from it? As the year comes to an end, many individual organizations have a habit of reflection of things that went well, things that did not go well, things that were helpful, and things that were, quite frankly, dangerous. This morning, I would invite you to join me in some reflections as we take the move from one calendar year to the next, to reflect on what are those things that have been good for us, those things which have not been good for us. As the year comes to an end, it is good to say, what are your observations of the past year? How would you characterize it, and why, or what do you do now as you seek to make direction or plan for the new year? For those of us who celebrate, I'm not sure whether, well, maybe yes, celebrate the change of season, the winter solstice. It is a season of light, and as I like to say, when this day come, I like to say spring is just around the corner, because it means it's getting lighter earlier. But so many of us continue to live in the midst of despair. So for those of us who continue to live in the midst of despair, and one only has to glance at the headlines or listen to the news headlines, to see that there is much to despair. But what are the signs of hope that you embrace as the year ends? Perhaps we might want to look at this by just twisting a popular theme, naughty or niceless. Many of us are familiar with the legend of Saint Nicholas. According to many, Saint Nicholas was a person who was born around the year 280 in what is now modern day Turkey. According to legend, Nicholas was someone who was born in some wealth, but decided that that is not the way he wanted to live. And rather, he went to see about the welfare of those around him. And he was concerned about what is important. One legend was that Nicholas helped a poor man and his daughters, because the man could not marry off his three daughters properly due to the lack of a dowry. He, in those days, in order to marry, a woman's father would have to give the one she was marrying a dowry. We can talk about that a bit later. But the point is that this man who had three daughters, and for their welfare, they were unable to have a dowry. So the man intended to turn them into prostitutes. In response, St. Nicholas brought these three young women gold coins every night until they had enough money for a wedding. Well, the legend of Santa Claus can be traced hundreds of years to this monk, St. Nicholas. And what it reminds many of us, that it's important to perhaps give away inherited wealth and to travel the countryside helping the poor and the sick. St. Nicholas was a man who had much, but thought it was important to help those who had less. And so, the legend of a naughty and nice list developed. What are those things that are upsetting you, or things that disturb you? Who are those individuals or institutions who would certainly be on your naughty list and get a piece of coal in their stocking this year? Give us a call at 503-231-8187 if you have some thoughts on that, about those individuals, institutions, movements who have either inspired you and therefore signs of hope, or those who have angered you and disappointed you and therefore signs of despair and outrage. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And it does not take me too much to think of just thinking about St. Nicholas and how he was a man of wealth, decided to give away his wealth and decided to help the poor and those who were oppressed. Fast forward several centuries to 2025, and in the midst of the news and the news headlines we read and are confronted by, we see some obvious examples of those who should be on the naughty list. Kristi Noem, the institution of ICE, those who continue to hold back money from the poor and those in Congress which do not extend the ACA subsidies. Those are people who are subjects to disappointment. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we will go to our callers. I think, do we have a caller? Yes. Let's go to our first caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you?
I'm fine. Who are you? I can't recognize your voice.
This is Lanita.
Okay. I didn't recognize your voice.
That's my morning voice.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to thank you for all your hard work you did this year, and I want to give an ounce of coal to everyone who did not vote. We're in this position because they did not vote for whatever reasons. They did not vote. I mean, it's pretty obvious the people who voted for this regime, they get what they voted for. But the cats that did not vote, I'm very disappointed in them, and this is what we have. But as I review 2025, I think the most encouraging signs are that people are protesting. We had two No Kings march, and it was mainly white people who marched, as well they should, because black women and people of color voted for Vice President Harris, you know, the Vice President Harris ticket, and we see democracy being challenged in a way since the Civil War, and it always comes down to the color line. So
yes.
I'm extremely happy that people are not sitting down and taking this. They're protesting because it affects them.
Yes.
The rights that they enjoyed are being chiseled away slowly and rapidly in some cases.
Indeed, yes. And so I appreciate your observation and recognizing that, you know, well, what's that well, I won't use the words, but F-A-F-F-O.
How about saying a leopard ate their face?
Okay. Yeah. So that's a challenge. And maybe going into the next year, 2026, do you see anything to look forward to? The continuation of the resistance or persons or movement we should keep an eye on?
I'm sitting back and eating popcorn and watching this whole Epstein case be blown up. People aren't falling for the okey-doke. At the same time, I'm watching to see if people are able to vote during the 2026 midterm election.
Yes.
And I want to encourage everyone to make sure they're registered to vote, even if they think they are, to make sure you're registered. And that should be the calling card of the so-called Democratic Party, is to ensure and launch a mass voter registration checkup, because
yes,
the regime is going to do everything in their powers to prevent people from voting.
This is indeed true. And those of us in the Northwest who have, in Oregon for a quarter of a century, vote by mail, that is being threatened by the feds as well. So there's a lot to do. So make sure you register and make sure you know where your voting place is.
And thank all the people that continue to support KBOO. You know, I give a monthly allowance every month. And
thank you.
What's going on with CBS News, the anti-CBS News, is
yes,
shameful, but it's all part of the authoritarian playbook. And I encourage people to support independent journalism and community radios, be it Pacifica or KBOO.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. I hope you have a good good season and a happy new year. And you are listening. Hello? And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and we just spoke to Lenita, who shared some of her thoughts about things that we should focus on, and her observation that you will receive a call if you voted for this regime, and now you're realizing what the impact on your lives and on the lives of others. Lenita also reminded us of the importance of independent media, and I will take that option just to remind all of you that KBOO, we're in the midst of our winter drive, year-end drive, $75,000 goals, and KBOO Fight Back. Lenita observed of the importance of independent media, and she talked a little bit about legacy media and how corporate media, in a way that we have not seen, is being taken over by this right-wing power grab. To reference also, 60 Minutes last night pulled a segment because it did not meet the regime's the regime did not like it. The segment was by Sharon Alfonsi, and it was a segment that featured stories of a Venezuelan man deported by the Trump administration to what the program called a brutal prison in El Salvador. CBS announced 3 hours before the broadcast that they will pull in the segment, and that's a sign of things to come. So if you want to maintain truth and possibility, please continue to support independent media such as KBOO. Go to our website and click on the Donate Now. You're listening to More Talk Radio. Today is Monday, December 22nd. I'm Cecil, and who is on your naughty or nice list? Let's go to our next caller. Good morning.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air, and people all over the world is hearing
Whoa,
your voice.
Goodness gracious. Cecil, I want to give shout out to you, Cecil, and Craig, your engineer.
Yes.
I my voice is shot. I'm sorry. I've been singing all night.
Oh.
Yeah, I got a rough voice. I'll say something about Ronald Lang. Ronald Lang is the senator from Oregon. His name is Ronald Lang. Ronald Lang,
it took me a while to catch up. Okay, I know. Okay, go ahead. Yes.
It's Ronald, not Ron, it's Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be associated with Ronald Reagan, so he calls himself Ron, to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But Ronald Lang, he voted for $25 billion in Israeli funding, military funding, to kill babies in Gaza. So Ronald Lang is the so-called senator, representative, that voted to murder children in Gaza. His name is Ronald Lang.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes. I usually hang up at this point.
Well, don't hang up yet, but I appreciate your observation about the senior senator from Oregon, and I think we must continue to put pressures on those who we can have some power over, and see what we can do to pressure the senior senator from Oregon. But make sure that he has a nice piece of coal in his stocking.
I'm sorry, Cecil. Do you think you have any power to get that 74-year-old? I'm an old man myself. Mm-hmm. But do you think the vote could actually get rid of a guy like that? That's such a venomous, poisonous personality.
Well, I what I do believe is that people. Working with other people can make movement, can make change. And the senior senator has been in office for many years in the Senate. Before that, I believe he was a congressperson. And as you said, he's been there for a long time. So what it takes, it is in part people to continue to push and people willing to stand up and see if they can challenge him at his next election. But at 74, well, I don't want to be at ages, but maybe there are things we can do and make space for others. But thank you so much, and hope you have.
I hope so. I hope so, and I wish all the listeners and KBOO. I encourage all the people listening to just donate at least $5-$10 to KBOO if they can.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And you take care. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. Our caller just made an observation to give a call to Senator Ron Wyden for his continued support for military aid to the State of Israel. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. Who is on your naughty and nice list? We will go to our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, my hope for the next year is that the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party finally gets supplanted as the supposed voice of the people. You know, right now the MAGA movement is slowly migrating away from Donald Trump at the moment. And I don't know if you've really been keeping tabs on the Charlie Kirk thing and the fallout from it.
Oh, that Turning Point Conference. Wow.
Yeah, but we're seeing a lot more competent right-wing leaders who could be the potential faces of the MAGA movement. they are just as charismatic, but a lot less buffoonish. And, you know, and it's something that a lot of leftists we've been talking about for a long time, because it's really easy to focus on Trump because he's so loud and bombastic.
Yes.
But, you know, while the liberals are continually doing this, anti-Trump thing, they're missing the whole fact that it's this system is what produced Trump.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's really frustrating to see, because, Trump is a product of Reagan. He's a product. I mean, everybody since Reagan has basically been another form of Reagan. And I think probably Bill Clinton was probably the top tier, most egregious form of what Reaganomics took hold of, because, Clinton sold out the Democratic Party, essentially the last what little credibility they had left with the working class, so they could dip into corporate funds. But anyway, okay. The point is that
I want you to hold on that point, because I think that's a good observation about Clinton. And I would even say that even beginning with Jimmy Carter, in terms of the Democratic
Party. Oh, 100%.
But certainly Clinton after Reagan. And I think I have a concern about the Democrats. They say, oh, this is what wins, so let's try to be, in the old days, Republican light. And I read a observer who said they were worried because in 26, even if the Democrats take over, and if you get one of those, milky toast Democrats for president in 2028, that we might, elect a Nazi and some of those Republicans you're talking about in 2032. So things are dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, man. Well, it's really what it comes down to is that whether they're Republicans or Democrats, they're ultimately, they want to protect the system that is currently in place. They have no desire to change the system. They want to make tweaks to it so that it hurts people less bad, but they fundamentally do not want to change the system that's in place because it benefits them. And I mean, and I really blame the West Wing for like the way a lot of liberals think. I guess it's kind of late in the game, but it's like
the West Wing,
Yeah, the West Wing, because it was such a liberal cope during the Bush years, when you could actually be fighting Bush, but instead, so many of the people who wrote for the show are a part of like the liberal news ecosystem.
Oh, you talking about a TV show or?
Yeah, the TV
show. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
yeah,
slow.
But,
okay.
I guess the point is that I really want to see Democrats get supplanted as the voice of the people.
So do you think
they aren't the voice of the people?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's our hope. Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
So people like you and others, we just have to continue to organize and confront them. So continue to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I hope that it's really easy to despair it's really easy to despair about what's going on if you believe that America has the potential to be some other way. But the fact of the matter is that once you see that this is who America is fundamentally at its core, that Trumpism, the MAGA movement is like America in its rawest form, where you're not dealing with the rewrites of history to say that it was some great democratic experiment or whatever, some experiment in democracy. Like when you take away that facade and you see what you're left with, the dirty underbelly that's never been truly addressed, it's the MAGA movement. And unless people who don't consider themselves MAGA folks can actually find a way to reckon with that history and what that really means about themselves, especially white folks, we're not going to move on from this, because it's just going to keep rearing its ugly head, whether we have you know, whether we have a whoever we have in office, whether it's a Democrat or Republican,
I think it's not going
to make a difference.
Yeah, I think your observations is very, very good. There's been some arguments that, you know, since the beginning of you know, the incarnation of the United States government, that there has been an expansion of liberty, of freedom. So you began in the late 18th century, you know, only on property men could vote, and gradually you had this expansion of liberty. This is the way the argument go. Eventually, those who were enslaved were experienced freedom. Black men could finally vote, and it continues to extend freedom. That's one argument, that more and more people are welcome into this tent. Now, whether or not you buy that or not, there's certainly a need to say, well, if there are other alternatives, how do we organize, and who are those peoples and individuals? Before I let you go, because there are a caller behind you, I think you gave a critique of, you know, what concerned you. What are there specific movements or individuals that you find hope for, that encourage you?
The fact that a Nicolas Maduro is still in power despite America's every attempt to oust him, I think is a really good sign of hope. I think the fact that, you know, Cuba is still intact despite the 60-year embargo gives me hope. You know, I would say that, you know, the local socialist and communist parties that we have here who are doing great organizing work, talking about Party for Socialism and Liberation, All African Peoples Revolutionary Party, African People's Socialist Party, La Raza Unida, that's what I'm a part of. You know, there's a lot, you know, there's the American Indian Movement is still kicking. You know, all the organizations that have its roots in actual people power and, you know, that are still here, that are still making a difference, and these other countries that are still showing us. I mean, shoot, I mean, look at China. I mean, regardless of what you say about China, I mean, it's like, the fact that they're still intact despite America's every effort to, and the UN's effort to try and take them down from the inside, they're standing strong. You know, I mean, there's a lot of hope to be, there's still a lot of hope in the world, but, you know, it's like, but if we really want to see the people of Palestine free, if we want to see the people of the Congo free, the first thing we need to do is we need to organize here in the Imperial Core, because if we can smash the capitalist machinery of the Imperial Core, then the rest of the world will be free.
Okay.
In short order.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for your work, and thank you for continue in the struggle. Thank you so much. And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our last caller was sharing his observation of things that give some hope and disappointment, encouraged by those who continue the struggle, disappointed, maybe not too strong of a word, but inaccurate, but concerned about how we have not been able to discern the core which have motivated this government. But let's hear your thoughts, and we will go to our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? Thank you for waiting.
Oh, pretty. I'm so excited to go after Santiago. He's like spot on all the time and covers so much ground. And I believe he's really kind of cutting through to the point of critical thinking, that we don't be that we're not snowed over. And I think the most hopeful thing I've heard of recently is this new party about de-Zionize the whole country, and then putting up candidates who are going to kind of put an edge to getting rid of the sellout complicit candidates who are sold out to the Zion Israel lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to recognize, what are we thinking about? This lady wrote a book called What Was I Thinking Of When I Was Going Up to Port Townsend One Time on Valentine's Day about relationships. But when we're looking at opening our eyes with critical thinking to, Bill Clinton was really not that cool. And sadly enough, even Noam Chomsky and Hillary and so many people, so that we can't really hedge our bets on this party or that party. But the point that you brought up about Christmas time, I think the most important thing is that young people have to get an opportunity to think for themselves and not be groomed into being blindsided and complicit. One of my favorite Christmas movies is Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, and I was just talking about that last night. Yes, continue.
Yeah, because I think if we can really, really go deep inside of ourselves and recognize, well, the devilish functions not rising up just outside of us, but that we can look at what is maybe Dr. Lerner, he had a wrote for the Tikkun about what's wrong with the malaise of people today. It's that everybody's looking at what's in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we can kind of break that lower self, you know, the lesser ego, and recognizing our humanity, not with just, okay, if you're white or brown or darker brown or beige or whatever, that we don't go on and get pulled into these talking points, but to be recognizing, well, like Santiago was saying, is that like China or Russia are really the huge major problems, but that it's Israel is the problem, and that we don't get blindsided into deceiving ourselves and being deluded and worried by insecurity. They'll make us so messed up and poor and struggling that we'll just buy into these nutty things, going nuts, trying to be so compromised that we become sellouts ourselves. And
right.
So to not be a sellout, I think that'd be to recognize what it takes to take care of ourselves in a way that we don't have to forego caring about others, have heart-to-heart talking with people and giving things. But more important is that we can make ourselves available, and after the pandemic and all this cell phone stuff, to just be able to voice a true, warm, kind humanity from the core of our being to another human being. It goes more than anything else. I really appreciate your platform, Cecil.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate your thoughts, and thank you for bringing up what I think is one of the two holiday movies that I like, and I think It's a Wonderful Life. So if you haven't seen that, watch it, because of the message. And it isn't, well, watch it. Thank you so much. And reminding us not to be a sellout, you know, one thing that I am grateful for is that in January of this year, on the last full day of his presidency, Joe Biden commuted Lyndon Peltier's life sentence, and he is now, was released, and he is sentenced to home confinement. But he was released, and that he was someone who remained true to his principles. So that, I think, is something to celebrate. You listen to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, 503-231-8187. Who or what is on your naughty or nice list? Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Tangent?
Yes, good morning.
Yes. Hi, Tangent?
Yes.
Is it me? Okay, here. Cause, okay, anyway.
I thought you were calling for Tangent, and I said, no.
I get it.
You got it. All right.
Excuse me. All right. Cecil, Brother Cecil and all. You asked this question a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't have time, so I'm glad you reminded me. My take on the last years and the next one, and I still remain hopeful, but I'm reminded of war in the east, war out west, war up north, war down south, everywhere is war. And that song was based on a speech given by Haile Selassie, in which he claims, and there's some of these words are in the lyrics, but I don't know them exactly, but basically it says, until man can look and judge another man by the color of his eyes instead of the color of his skin. Do you get what I'm saying? Something like that. And
yes.
I judge.
Uh-huh.
That's not right.
Yes.
Look into the color of his eyes instead of focusing on skin, I guess is what he was saying there.
Mm-hmm.
I've made some notes, so I'm going to run through a few things, if you don't mind.
Okay.
One of the things that Trump blasted last week was, and the way he said it was very interesting. He said about immigration, like, couldn't we get some people from Norway? Like, couldn't we just make a call and say, hey, send us some Norwegians? Like, now look at that. I want one. I'd like somebody to do a poll of Norwegians. Anybody want to come to the USA?
Yeah, and then try to get health.
Yeah.
To move from Norway to the U.S. for our healthcare system. Yeah,
yeah, right.
I don't think so.
So then, but the thing is, the way he put it was make a call and tell him, send me some. So he's going to call the dictator of Norway and he's going to tell some Norwegians. Okay, there's just that. Just on the subject of, you mentioned coal in the stocking. I'd forgotten that thing. Yeah, if you're naughty, supposedly. Well, for a poor person, a piece of coal could give the family some heat.
Yeah.
And I'm just turning it around a little bit, but I get you saying. But I want to remind people of another movie. It's not necessarily a Christmas movie, but it's called The Railway Children. It was a BBC production. I saw Masterpiece Theater here, you know. But the dad was framed during World War II for espionage, and so they had to move to a country house and where they were poor. It's a fascinating story. Okay, let's get to Santiago. You mentioned Clinton, and I have a poem. I wrote a poem, which I won't read, but basically I'll sum it up. From NAFTA to HAFTA, half American free trade agreement. Half America. We're being halved, all right?
Okay.
So do we have to? I wanted to, and then you mentioned that a couple weeks ago about the liberals say, we'll promise you Disneyland, and then later say, oh, sorry, we didn't have the money, we couldn't go, kids. And I'm reminded of American Vacation with the National Lampoons, going to Wally World.
Yes.
And all okay. That, okay, and then when you get there, it's closed.
Okay.
One last thing. I just got into this book, Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. We've all heard this term, philosopher king. He actually was one. I thought it was a myth. Like, okay, I mean, maybe Charlemagne, I don't know. But no, he's fantastic. Read these. It's deep and it's funny. But at one point he mentions how, like, no matter what happens, it's going to work out for the best. And so what I'm thinking, what I'm getting from that with Trump is that he will actually force us to universal health care, peace, and such. He's gone so fast, so hard. I think we're all just going to be craving for the half whatever democracy we had before.
But I'm thinking
it's going to push us to go all the way for everything we want. And we want. I saw this bumper sticker said, "Yes, I want it all, and I want it delivered."
Okay, that's a good observation. Maybe I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but certainly I think you are correct that what this administration is doing is certainly helping open people's eye and forcing us to say, no, we don't want this. Give us something different. I'm going to have to let you go right now, but thank you so much, Tangent, and I hope you continue to do well and happy holidays. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and I welcome your calls. We're talking about naughty and nice lists. What are those institutions, persons, or individuals who you would say you will give them a piece of coal for their stockings? Now, Tangent did make an observation that I think is true for those who without heat or without shelter, coal might be something you want, but that's a testimony on who we are. Let's go to our next caller and their thoughts. Good
morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. So it sounds like you're covering lots of territory today, from 1820 to Martin Sheen in the West Wing to Marcus Aurelius, based on different callers. And in terms of good or bad, your naughty or nice question, I'm not sure that people have talked about local stuff a lot, which is okay. But some of us from Portland State went to a meeting of ICO last Friday night, where we heard from people supporting immigrant communities from Sudan, Somalia especially, Eritrea. And the speakers at this, I thought, were good, actually. Jamal Dar, D-A-R, is director of ICO. He asked us to come. Tina Kotek, the governor, was there, so we got to hear her speak in person for immigrants and against deportations and ICE. Jeff Merkley, the junior senator from Oregon, talked in person at that, and I thought Jeff was good as well. Nafisa Fai, F-A-I, is a speaker. She's running for Washington County chair on the commission in Washington County. She was another speaker. And there's about 100 black people from countries in Africa and some supporters who try to be white allies for that. But I thought that was a hopeful event. So you've kind of been asking about hope versus critiques. For local stuff, for example, on city council, I would say it looks like for we at PSU, we keep track of who's filing for city council next time. Mm-hmm. There's an election coming up with six seats open. Annalita Murillo, Tiffany Lane, Jeremy Smith, and Mitch Green have all filed, and they're progressive on the left. So those are, we believe, in our alliance, good candidates to support.
Now, hold on there. I have a question, because did we not just elect a city council last year? So were their terms, some were elected for 2 years and had to come up again? You mentioned Mitch
Green.
Correct.
You may know about that, Cecil, but basically there's four districts now in the new system. Mm-hmm. So it's staggered so that not everybody's up at the same time.
All right.
So the meeple I mentioned, Angelita and Tiffany, are up in District 3. Novick's also there, but he hasn't filed yet. And Jeremy Smith, who ran last time, and Mitch Green are running downtown, which is District 4.
Yes.
So those are the six. There's six seats in those two districts that are up. The other two districts don't come up for another 2 years. And so on the other side, which you were asking about, naughty versus nice, it seems like Eric Zimmerman, who's one of the downtown reps, he's also filed for re-election. And Dan Ryan in North Portland seem like two of the more conservative, white, I'd say older people that basically are opposing social justice measures when things come up for a vote on the council. So there's a tendency, like another thing you might have known, but I'm not sure people have mentioned for KBOO, there's a petition campaign started by a city council candidate who didn't win. He was in North Portland. His name is Bob Simril, C-I-M-R-I-L. So that would be a person on the naughty list for some of us. His petition campaign is to gather signatures to take money away, allegedly, from the Clean Energy Forum, the Clean Energy Program, which allegedly has tons of money, and then hire 400 more Portland police officers.
Yeah.
So most of us on the left think that's a really bad idea.
Right.
So those would be a couple examples of a hopeful event, the ICO Forum last Friday night at ICO on 82nd, and then some of the people that we think are progressive for city council. I think it's harder to focus on, I think people should focus on national stuff, and I think one call was about Ron Wyden being unresponsive. We found that to be true. We think Merkley for Oregon for Senate, who is running, Wyden's not up this year for election, but Merkley is, that Merkley on single-payer health care, on Palestine, on a variety of issues is far better than Wyden. And you may be far more hopeful, Cecil, about phoning in, getting Wyden to change positions on some of those things. So those are my thoughts. Thanks.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your thoughts. You're listening to More Talk Radio. That was our last caller who was focusing on naughty and nice, and I appreciate Lou for focusing on local issues and highlighting how our local communities are gathering and making change. You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil. Who's on your naughty and nice list as the year come to an end? What are your reflections on the year's end? And where do you see 2025? Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Cecil. I hope you're well.
I am. I hope you are well.
I continue to be dangerously well, no matter what they say. And all they do is talk. That being said, I will talk for just a moment.
Please
to relate to you, to relate to you that every consumer on this orb is on the naughty list. Mm. It used to be back in the day we counted calories. We'd put the number on our pad of paper. We'd look at every label and we'd say, how many calories? How many calories? And we'd count till the day was done, because already we had grown apparently a little more overweight than we had intended to be or was healthy for us. Well, why don't we begin to count everything we do, including every dollar we spend, everything we buy. We ship all over the world. You remember the Francis Scott Key Bridge and the Dali that rammed it not long ago. And the photograph arrived with the cold light of day the next morning, showing this ship having collided with a bridge that completely collapsed, killing some six workers who had been repairing the pavement overnight. On board that vessel, the Dali, were 30,000 containers. That is right. 30,000 containers.
Wow.
Now, the caption for that devastating photograph of the next day is, Madam ordered too much. And it's time.
It is time
for every one of us to keep not just a calorie diary, but to know what we are doing to the fragile sphere. This fragile sphere, it's like an eggshell.
Literally.
Yeah. If the picture of the Earth were printed on a piece of paper at the size of the center of your palm, about the size of an old silver dollar, the atmosphere, the biosphere, the living part of planet Earth on the surface would be as thin as the ink with which the image was printed. And it's time for each and every one of us to shut our mouths, among other things, and stop putting so much garbage into our mouths. And that's what I have to say. Hey. Every human. On the naughty list. I don't care. I know there's a lot of suffering. But valuing human life over all other things, that alone makes the human somewhat guilty of planet side. Planet side.
Yeah.
But we're killing. We're killing. So there you have it. That's my opinion about who gets the naughty and the nice list.
Make it simple, and I think it's accurate. Thank you so much, and good wishes for you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning.
Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
I could answer your prompt from earlier, but I really wanted to share a Radical Christmas Carol that is a parody of a classic that a lot of folks will know, from the Little Red Songbook.
Oh, okay.
All right. God bless you, very wealthy men, good news I have to tell. The market's up, you're making more each time you buy and sell. Would lay off more your profits, so you're living rather well. Local tidings of capital gains. Oh, tidings of capital gains. God bless you, very wealthy men, you never have to see the people all around you who must live in misery. You keep the poor far from your door, you know no poverty. Oh, tidings of capital gains. Oh, tidings of capital gains. God bless you, very wealthy men, whatever comes to pass, you have no fear that you will be kicked out upon the grass. I have a feeling that your ceiling is not made of glass. So tidings of capital gains. So tidings of capital gains. God bless you, very wealthy men, you do repeat this song. You owe success to your hard work, no one helped you along.
You've raised yourself to the top shelf. Your bootstraps must be strong. No hooks, tidings of capital gains. Capital gains. Oh, tidings of capital gains. God bless you, poor and working folks. It's time to take a stand. For decent wages, health, and pensions are our just demands. It's time to fight. We must unite. Won't you lend us a hand? Oh, tidings of a world to be gained. Of a world to be gained. Oh, tidings of a world to be gained.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for putting an interesting, good twist on some traditional holiday music. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. We have a few minutes left. Let's go to our next caller. And even if you cannot sing a holiday carol, I want to hear what you have to say. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
It is me. Well, that was a cheery little tune. I wanted to add another troubling little tidbit about our favorite Senator Ronnie Wyden. That seems to be overlooked for the most part, and that is that he was one of the earliest supporters of federal legislation that would make it a crime, a federal crime, to support the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement. He came out early and was vocal, and then he kind of, like, didn't bring it up again, I think, hoping that people would forget about that fact. But the man is essentially one of those that's operating as a dual agent. I don't know if he has dual citizenship, but he might as well have, because he is quite often operating on behalf of the State of Israel, and that is very problematic. Because, you know, he was essentially supporting something that would make it a federal crime to exercise your rights as an American citizen. There was also reference made to a movement that is working towards removing Zionist influence from our government, and that organization is AZAPAC, AZA-PAC.com. And they're supporting candidates that refuse to take money from AIPAC and that also will try to educate the American people about the level of Zionist influence that's in our government. So that's a very worthwhile movement as well.
Okay. Thank you for your observations, and continue to, we all should continue to keep our eyes on our congressional representatives. Thank you so much. And let's go to what may be our last caller right now. No. Okay. Well, thank you all for so much. And wow, there's been a lot that has been shared. And I think what I would like to say is there is much to do, but there is also much to be grateful for. And as our callers have shared, even on the local and national level, there are people who are continuing to do the good work, who are continuing to, an example of St. Nicholas, use wealth on behalf of those who are oppressed. And certainly those who are powerful will resist those things. But I think it is important at all times to remain focused and to remain true to our ultimate goals. So what type of society we want? What type of year do we want? It depends, for me, is on each one of us to continue to have compassion for one another, continue to lift up those who are ignored, and continue to allow those who are often on the outskirts to center their voices so that they may determine the type of world we want to live in. When there is so much around us that allow us to be disappointed, I think there is so much around us that allow us to continue to hope. And my hope for you as this year comes to a conclusion is that you maintain connection with those around you, that you do not lose hope, and that you continue to struggle with those around you. There's much that we can worry about, but there is so much that we can celebrate together. The world is not perfect, but it is what we have, and we can continue to do that which is good. So continue to build community, continue to support independent media such as KBOO, and I know many of you are, but you know, if you want to be on KBOO's nice list, please consider, please consider contributing to our Fight Back campaign, our year-end drive. We have a goal of $75,000, and we can do it with your support. This has been Cecil. I want to thank Craig for coming in and being our brilliant engineer. Yay! I will listen to you next time, and thank you so much.
Portland at 90.7 FM.
Goodbye.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of